You are listening to the Life Church Podcast. To learn more about Life Church, our gathering times at any of our central Indiana locations, or our Life Crew online, visit us at lifechurchin.com or follow the link in the description. Today's talk is from Pastor Ross Steele.
So you could follow along with the sermon notes. And great exchange is what we get to talk about today. First verse, John 15, 13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. This is what Jesus did. He calls us friend. He laid down his life for each and every single one of us, for me, for you, for the person at work you really can't stand and they really drive you crazy, for the family member who always brings up the wrong topics at gatherings, family gatherings, whatever it may be, he died for them. He calls them all friends. We all experience it one time or another, but he led an example for us. He led an example for us. And I'd like to say, like my wife, I would definitely lay my life down for my wife. I'd like to say I would do it for all of my friends and all those who are near to me, but I'm human and I have a flesh that probably would second guess it, to be quite honest. But Jesus never second guessed it. And I'm not Jesus, that's the best part. I just get to tell you about him. Anyways, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And I wanna talk about the cross to start off. Cross is a symbolic of the Christian faith. And I want to talk that the cross was a show of authority and now is a sign of victory. And I might need a little help, a little tech issue here. Trevor, can you hit that next slide for me, please? Thank you, sir. Give it up for our tech team. Woo, go Trevor. So the cross was a show of authority. Now is a sign of victory. I want to show different things of the cross all around us. And what we see in the Old Testament is the Israelites camping around the tabernacle. Notice to see how it's laid out. This is instructions of how God said he wanted them to be laid out. And this is, it represents a cross. Huh, who would have thunk, right? This is Old Testament when the cross still was a sign of authority. And now we know it as a show of victory. And it's awesome that we get to rejoice in that. The next thing, which is really cool for those who don't know, is this glue protein in our body is called laminin. This is the shape of laminin that is in our bodies, and it basically holds everything together. Is there a coincidence that this cross? Some may say, oh, that's just coincidence. I disagree with you. You're wrong, and I don't care to say it. There is no coincidence. God is real. He created everything, and it's all around us, and that's what I'm talking about today. And we look at the Whirlpool Galaxy. We look at the core of it. The Hubble telescope actually took a picture of it, which is really cool, and right at the center of it is a cross. He created the universe too, okay? And a cool thing is a foreshadowing aspect, because on Palm Sunday, Jesus came in on a donkey and he left with the cross, right? Well, on the back of this donkey, every donkey you'll see is a cross. Across the shoulders and down the spine, it's a cross. There's no coincidence, guys. God knew what he was doing. He's trying to show us. He's trying to give us signs. It's our job to see it and say, yeah, okay, that makes sense now. As I'm on the topic of animals here, I want to talk about one thing, is that sheep have an immunity to snake venom, which is really cool, because we say God is the lion and the lamb. So if a venomous snake were to come up and try to like come out of the shepherd, imagine this sheep, this lamb, coming in between, taking the bite, and what happens is this lamb will lay down for a moment, but then it'll get back up. You don't need it. You know, you don't have to believe everything, although I would encourage it, but there's just no coincidences in any of these things that this would happen. The lion and the lamb, the actual lamb that we know today is immune to snake venom, and we know that Satan is a serpent. We know this. Like, these, it all adds up, right? It makes sense, and it's awesome, and we get to be like, man, that is so, God is just so cool, right? He's awesome. I'm going to go into the story of Barabbas. It's going to be in Matthew chapter 27. If you have your Bibles and want to follow along, it will be on the screen as well. Verse 11, we'll start. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, it is as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" And he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge. So the governor was quite amazed. You know, in a situation like this, Pilate, the governor, he would actually send them. He wouldn't be fighting on their behalf for them. Jesus is ready to take all that there is, and Pilate sees that he's innocent. Why are they testifying this against you? He is the only one in this world that had no sin, right? There's nothing that you can do against him that would justify this act. And this in itself, Pilate seems out of character, and he has favor with Jesus. He has favor with him. He's trying to encourage Jesus. Hey, speak, talk to me. Let me know. I can get you out of this because I'm allowed to release a prisoner. I can help you. And Jesus just says silent for the most part. And that kind of is a conviction for me, I would say, because maybe y'all can relate, but we would be better off silent and to trust God to defend us. When people come against us, when the wickedness of the world comes against us to try to tear us down and try to make us feel bad for offending them, for standing on the truth of the word of God, it's going to come. If we're going to be bold and we're going to be courageous as a church, as we say, then and as believers, as we say, we must stand firm on the word of God, and we will offend people. That's okay. I promise you, it's okay, because God will deal with it. Sometimes it takes offending somebody for them to open up their eyes. I'm not saying we're going to walk around and just go offend everybody. That's not what I'm saying. But we can show love by being truthful. And we can show grace in those conversations, how we approach it. But oftentimes, when we get attacked for standing up for the word of God, for truth, for living for Jesus, it's probably better off that we stay silent. Trust in God for the process. I've had to do that myself, and I promise you, it's much better. And we're going to continue on in verse 15. It says, "Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?' For he knew that because of envy, they had handed him over." See, these chief priests, they were just envious. They just didn't like that everything he was saying was truthful, and they were a little jealous. And envy grew up in them, so they just said, we're gonna crucify you. That's what we're going to do. And to explain who Barabbas was, he wasn't just like a low, you know, misdemeanor, felony, criminal type of thing. He was a revolutionary terrorist. That's how you could see him. And these people would rather release him than the one who had no sin. It doesn't make any sense. But we talk about the great exchange, and I think it's really cool to note that Barabbas, what his full name was. His full name was actually Jesus Barabbas was his full name. Jesus is a common name around this time, but I mean, that was his full name. So we exchanged one Jesus for the other. And that's why it says the one Jesus who is called Christ. Is Jesus Barabbas or Jesus Christ? Which one do you want? And they said, "Give us Barabbas, release Barabbas." Verse 19, "While he was sitting on the judgment seat, Pilate, his wife sent him a message saying, 'Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him.' But the chief priests and all the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death." And what does Pilate do? This urgent message from his wife was tragically ignored. She suffered in dreams. God, I don't know. We don't know exactly what the dreams were, but we can imagine that that God came in a dream showing her what would happen if this went through. She sent the message. He decided to ignore it. How many of y'all know your wife gives you some advice maybe, and then they end up being right, and you're like, "Oh, shoot, yeah, Phil knows right here. I guess we're the only ones that can be honest with ourselves." And I could imagine his wife, Pilate's wife, right here saying, "I told you so." I could just imagine. I could just hear it right now. "I told you so." But in all reality, Pilate, he had all the evidence to release Jesus. He had it all. There was nothing that was pointing towards that Jesus should be the one to be crucified. Nothing at all. But Pilate, he decides that he's going to be persuaded by the mobs of those around us. And when it talks about the elders and the chief priests, this is a reminder. And this is for you all to listen to, also a reminder for me, was that when pastors are corrupt, they are capable of inducing their flock to prefer Barabbas to Jesus, the world to God, and the pleasures of self to the salvation of their souls. That's why it matters who is leading you. That's why it matters. And I'll say this. I shared it last week. I put a lot of pressure on myself, self-induced pressure, that I don't screw up your guys' lives, okay? Just to put it plainly. I try really, really hard, and I've had to realize that it's not in my power. If I try to do it in my power, something like this could definitely happen, where it becomes all about me, and that's never, ever, ever what I want to happen, nor will it happen, because I have trusted individuals around me to hold me accountable when I need it most, and I'm an open door to these folks. There's nothing that they don't know, and I just want to share that with you. If you're looking for a home church, you're here, you're new today, and you've been a little skeptical of different places, hey, open door. You ask me any question, I'll be completely honest with you. And if you ask me if I like your top, I can't answer that because I will be honest, and then you're going to be offended, all right? But in all seriousness, though, it is important to be a part of a church that is led by a pastor that is led by God. You need to find that. If it's not Life Church, that's okay. Get plugged into a church that has a pastor that is led by God. Matthew 27, verse 21, we continue on. But the governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas, Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they all said, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." See, the voice of the crowd is not always the voice of God. There's a lot of voices all around us in our day and age today. We have social media that's crazy. I mean, you could find anything in an instant. You got the internet all around to give all different types of opinions on things. And the only thing that's remained true in all of this is the Word of God. And that's why it's important that we get into our Word. We get into our Word. That is the bread of life. We get into that, and that is the sword of the Spirit. We talk of the armor of God. That's the only offensive weapon in the armor of God. We have to know it to be able to wield it well. You have to practice. The greatest samurais in the world practice over and over and over and over again. Are you willing to be a samurai for Christ? Are you willing to wield that sword like the best samurai in the world? It takes work. It takes time. A lot of us get ahead of ourselves. We're like, I'm not getting it enough yet. I'm not getting enough yet. And we're like 2 months into it. Why give up? Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep pressing in. The enemy is going to come at you. He's going to whisper all these lies of how you're not good enough, of how you don't look a certain way, of how nobody wants you around, of how things would be easier if you just weren't here. All these lies are the voices of the enemy. It is not of God. And we have to recognize what the difference is between the voice of the crowd and the voice of God. Because the voice of the crowd is very loud. It's very loud. There's mobs of wickedness all around us, trying to take out those who proclaim Jesus as their Lord and Savior, try to discourage us. And some people bow their knee to these mobs. But no, not me, not this church. We bow our knee to Christ and Christ alone. And people today, they still reject Jesus and choose another. They still reject Jesus. They choose another, just like the chief priests and the elders said, "We wanted Barabbas." What is your Barabbas today? What have you been putting on the throne that only God belongs on? What is it in your life? What sin is it that you have made an idol in your life? That you recognize, I've rejected Jesus still. I can come to church. I can worship. I can pray. I can do all the things. I can check all the boxes. But is Christ on the throne of your lives? Is Jesus the only idol that you worship? The cool thing to note of this whole thing is we started with the cross. I want to talk about the cross itself was actually built for Barabbas, yet we still have a great exchange. See, the world thought it was going to be Barabbas. In this time, they all thought it was going to be Barabbas. I mean, God knew what was taking place. Jesus knew what was taking place. And when they were putting those crosses up, they had an idea of who was going to be there. Everybody knew that it was Barabbas, except for Jesus and the disciples, because he said, hey, this is going to happen, right? And I just think oftentimes we can take this concept of how this was built for Barabbas, but Jesus took it on. This is a perfect example of the great exchange in our lives. The cross was meant for us. The cross was meant for you. It was meant for me. But Jesus took it himself. He didn't want us to bear that weight. He didn't want us to bear that anguish that he had to. We continue on in verse 24 and 25. When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, innocent of this man's blood, see to that yourselves. He's trying to make himself feel a little bit better. Wash his hands. He said, I'm innocent. This is on you guys now. And all the people said, his blood shall be on us and on our children. At this time, they had no idea what was going to happen. They had no idea what this meant for them to say that. Because Pilate knew Jesus was innocent and tried to wash himself clean of the blood of Jesus. Yet there is power in the blood, right? Yes. And there is glory in the cleansing blood of Jesus. There is glory there. So even the ones who yelled to crucify him, Jesus took the cross anyways. Blood poured out for them. In exchange for them. May his blood be on us and our children. It's a powerful statement. Now we say it as that, yeah, I want it. May his blood be upon me and my children and my children's children and my children's children's children. I can keep going, but I would forget how many children I'm at. But seriously, this is a powerful statement. There is glory, and it is honorable to be covered by the cleansing blood of Jesus. In verse 26 of Matthew 27, then he released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. He was scourged by a whip. And in this time, this whip is leather strands with sharp bone or metal at the end. And I meant to have a thing to hit, but I tried asking Devin if he'd be my example. And he said no. But I have, these are pretty authentic to what Jesus was scourged with, right? This is cat, what was known as a cat of nine tails, okay? And there's a certain way to hold it to be most effective. And you would think that this one, of all the whips, hurts the most. But there's these weighted balls on here and metal shards sticking out. And I could promise you, if you hit yourself on accident and it hurts, or just get hit in general, it will hurt, right? But they're sitting there, and they're whipping him. And they're whipping him over and over again. And it's coming across his side and tearing him up. And I share this with you, not to gross you out or anything, but put into how this was very real. This is normal. But this is the cat. We don't know for sure that it was the nine tails. Maybe it was the three. And you would think that one did a lot more damage, when actually this did most damage. with the three tails because the inertia, something with physics, I don't know exactly, but this would actually do more damage because there was more weight being carried by the single one, and it would stick in, and sometimes it would stick in her skin, and they'd have to rip it out, and it would tear apart his flesh. This is very real. And it's hard to recognize that this is what Jesus had to endure for us to be free. How many want a friend like that in their lives? And even through all of this, Jesus remained silent. He remained silent because oftentimes, if they confess to their wrongdoings, they would stop the torture. They would stop the beating. But Jesus had nothing to confess. He was the Son of God. Everything he was saying was true. What he was being crucified for was true. But he had to endure that for us. He remains silent. And what we see is that what God has what we need and what we don't deserve, which is righteousness. We don't deserve it. And I don't say that to put you down, to put anybody down. We just don't. We don't deserve it, but that doesn't matter to God. He sent his Son for us. He doesn't care. He wants us to leave our life of sin and follow him. Yes. And at any moment, wherever we're at in our life of sin, we could turn around and he'll meet us with open arms. See, we have what God hates and what he rejects, which is sin. He has righteousness and we have the sin. In Romans chapter 8, the last bit of verse 3, says, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus bore the condemnation of our sin. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means when the enemy, that voice in your mind telling you that you shouldn't, or telling you that you're not enough, that you can't do this or you can't do that because of this is in your past or because you're living in this right now, trying to discourage you from living in the true freedom that God has for you, that Jesus died on the cross for. That shame is not yours to carry. That shame is not ours to carry. Jesus bore it all for our sin. And our sin is on Christ, while his righteousness is on us. And that's not just a saying to say, hey, go all free willy-nilly, go on about sinning because his righteousness is about us. No, Christ calls us out of life of sin. And some of us have a little bit too much pride. We say, we want to do it our way. I can do it better. How foolish does one have to be to say, I can do it better than God? We need to recognize that his righteousness falls upon us, but he also calls us to repent. And we must repent of our sin, pick up our cross, and follow him. See, he did so much for us, and yet we're not willing to give up things that keep us away from him? That doesn't make any sense. But it's the enemy at work in our world today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. What is this saying? All you need to do is have faith. We're saved by grace through faith alone. There's nothing, no boxes to check. You just have to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You don't have to. We're going to do a baptism here at the end of service. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. These waters isn't what save us. It's the believe in our heart and the confession with our tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord, that saves us. He doesn't want anyone to boast. Oh, you know, I did this. I read this many chapters today in the Bible. I prayed this long. I spent this much time with the Lord. Stop that. And if you're one to boast about all that you did, stop that. He just wants your heart. Comparison is the thief of joy. You start comparing yourself to other believers who have been in the faith longer than you, you're going to feel a little bit less joy. You're going to feel a little discouraged. But that's not the intention that Jesus had for us. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you are saved. It's not by the works of anybody. All we have to believe. That's crazy to me. He endured all that, and all we have to do is say, yeah, I believe. I believe he is Christ. He is Lord. He died and rose again for me. The great exchange became ours, not by works, but faith alone. It's ours. When Jesus Christ took the cross for Jesus Barabbas, we are the Barabbas in this story. A revolutionary terrorist. And that may seem harsh. That may seem really, really hard to still see the grace in all of that. But can you give him a chance? I'm going to give an opportunity to everybody that's here in the house with us this morning. If you haven't said yes to Jesus, if you have been living life the way you want, not trusting in God, having little faith, I want to challenge you to have a great faith. Have a great faith that will change generations in your life. It's never too late, and it's never too early to say yes to Jesus.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us, share with a friend, and hit subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you stream your podcast. Our mission is simple. Come to life, connect to grow, find your purpose, make a difference. Thanks for listening to the Life Church Podcast.